Today's episode of the Inner Her Uprising is sponsored by Purple Panties, a new erotic fiction podcast created by New York Times bestselling erotica author Zane, based on her acclaimed anthology of the same name. Today's episode is also sponsored by Robinhood, an app that allows you to invest in the stock market from your phone. Last but not least, this episode is sponsored by Eucora, a UTI prevention company. Built in collaboration with physicians and urologists with the best clinical research available, Eucora is dedicated to bringing you products that work so that you can stay ahead of UTIs. Inner Hall of Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, a podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho living in New York City. So this week, half of Inner Ho Uprising actually went to racist-ass, cold-ass Syracuse to see our homies of the Queer Walk podcast and Diamond Styles of Marsha's Plate Trans Talk podcast do the damn thing at the Queering the Airwaves Queer Trans People of Color in the Media Symposium. So we took the week off from recording to see our friends, and we'll be back in the studio next week. But today we have a very special interview with our friends from Razdaluet's podcast, Scandinavia's biggest feminist slash anti-racist podcast. So Fana and Ami of Razdaluet's podcast join us later to talk about being a black woman in Northern Europe, their work as journalists, their activism, and a cool new documentary series they're working on right here in the U.S. But before we get into that, Ho Halloween is fast approaching, guys. Halloween Henny and Hoes at Love Story Bar is happening this Saturday, and it's free 99 with RSVP for a saucy time with your friends and your favorite hoes. So don't forget to RSVP using the link in the description of this episode. We got $4 Henny shots from 9 to 10 p.m. Twerking all night long to two incredible DJs, and a special Inner Ho Uprising themed prize for the person wearing the best costume. So we hope to see you there, and if not, have a good fucking Halloween. That is like season at its max. So shortly after, on November 2nd, please come through to Miss Vixen's First Fridays. That's going to be $10 with RSVP, $15 at the door. So every first Friday of the month, Miss Vixen will be cultivating a party and a safe space for women, people of color, trans folks, and queer folks to unwind from all the bullshit, first and foremost, which you know a nigga needs after that fucking Syracuse trip, recalibrate your glow up, and get lit on the dance floor. So there will be drink specials. I'm going to be there shaking my ass as per usual. So don't forget to hit the RSVP link in the description of this episode so you can get your $10 tickets. If not, we'll see you at the door. $15. This is a 21 and up event. And last but not least, November 13th through November 17th, WNYC is throwing their Women in Podcasting Festival, known as the Work It Festival. Your boy is going to be there with some incredible podcasters talking about the intersection of futurism, podcasting, and being a woman of color, specifically a black woman in this space. So at 10:30 on November 13th at the Knockdown Center, if you do happen to be attending the Work It Festival or considering buying tickets to the Work It Festival, please come through and check out this panel. I think it's going to be really important for kind of discussing the ways that podcasting deals with conversations about science and futurism, and how and the care or lack of care that is taken when it comes to discussing how these big, grand, awesome ideas often leave black women and other people at the margins outside of the conversation. So if you're at Work It, come through, come through. Now let's get into the actual show. Oh, wait, shit. What the fuck is calling me? All right, sorry guys, let me pick this up real quick. Hello.
Yeah.
Yay, it's the nigga Akua. This is so unexpected. What the fuck is up?
Well, I'm calling you to let you know that this episode of Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by Purple Panties. Remember them Zane books we used to read?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zane is back, and this time she's in audio.
Ooh, very sexy.
If you're into steamy, sexy audio shows to listen to on lonely nights, during your commute, or with headphones on at work, then this is the show for you.
Mm-hmm.
Purple Panties follows the lives of three women, Maddox, Lauren, and Stephanie, and their love, sex, and dating lives. There's lots and lots of lesbian sex, their budding relationships, failing relationships, infidelity, thirsting, curving, all the good stuff.
Great stuff. Yeah, I was actually listening earlier with my headphones off, and that was a bad idea because my brother was home, and all of a sudden it was like, oh. And I was like, oh, shit. Let me put my headphones on real fast. It's also directed by web series alum Janine Daniels, who used to do this really cool show called That Guy. I love her work, and I'm very excited to see where this series goes.
Definitely. So be sure to tune in to follow Maddox, Lauren, and Stephanie on their journey as they navigate their professional and personal lives. You get wet, you get in your feelings, you get all the good stuff. You can listen to Purple Panties now on Stitcher Premium. For one free month of Stitcher Premium, go to purplepanniespodcast.com and use promo code HO. One more time, that's promo code HO, H-O-E. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
That's a party on the weekend. That's a party on the weekend. She love a party on the weekend. She love a party.
All right, so we're going to go into our topic of the day now. So today we're talking about misogyny, racism, sexism, colorism, and most importantly, feminism in Europe, specifically Northern Europe. And we're joined by the folks of Scandinavia's biggest feminist / anti-racist podcast, Razierit.
Damn it, I messed up.
What did you tell me to say again?
Razierit.
What they said in their lovely, sexy ass voices.
Yes.
So we've got Fana Endow Norby, pronouns she and her, a freelance journalist currently working at Swedish National Television, where she hosts a weekly talk show about cultural events. And we have Ami Brahmi Say, pronouns she and her.
Yeah.
Is a journalist and host of the morning show at Aftonbladet TV.
Yeah, I'm so sorry about all these words. I'm
everything.
Sorry. No.
That's not it.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Sweden's largest newspaper. She also has hosted at Swedish National Radio. Yeah. Fana and Ami are also the host of Fana and Ami's Strip Trip, an upcoming docuseries about feminism, strip culture, hip hop, and power dynamics, plus their cousins.
Yeah.
Welcome, Fana and Ami.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you all on.
No. We're so excited to be here.
Yeah, this is so big for us.
We're what? Like, oh my God. We're visiting a podcast in the States.
Yeah, not any podcast.
Not any podcast.
No. Oh, it's very nice to be here with you.
Stop.
Guys.
You guys are like literally famous.
No.
Like, well,
yes. No. Like, oh yeah, we kind of are.
No.
So let's dive into things. Oh, let's start with the podcast.
Yeah.
So you guys speak Swedish. I butchered the name of the show because it's in Swedish and I'm ignorant. So what does... Razierit. I fucked it up again. Saku is not giving me any support.
I'm not even going to try, okay?
Saku's just like, I'll let her go.
I know my limitation.
Tell us the name of the show again and tell us what it means in English.
Razierit. Razierit. So basically, Razierit, yeah, it's like a word play with rage. It's called like Razieriet. It's like the outrage or something. Mm-hmm. And it's also because our logo looks like our country, but yeah, it's like this word falling apart. Because Razieriet could be something that like ett ras in Swedish. It's something that falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started the podcast, almost 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think soon it's gonna be 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Congrats.
No, thank you. Mm-hmm. But you're the OGs.
Oh, no.
Anyway, yeah, when we started the podcast, we were so miserable about our country and racism in Sweden, and we were like, the whole country is falling apart. But that was very dramatic because that was not the situation.
But that's how it
felt like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That was how it felt.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we felt like, Razieriet is such a good name.
And Ras is also Swedish for race.
Yeah, so it's like race, yeah.
Race, rage, and it's falling everything apart at the same time.
Yes, yes. Mm. So tell us about the process of starting the show in the first place.
Okay, so we were thinking, well, we realized that we spoke so much to each other about everything that's happening to us and other people of color in Sweden and racism in general.
Mm-hmm.
Every week there was something new happening and we just spent so much time trying to understand what's happening to us, what's happening to other people in Sweden. And we just decided to like create a podcast and talk about this 1 hour every week,
mm-hmm,
instead of talking about it every day, all the time, because that would take it took so much time and so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to like, let's have one therapy session a week.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So we can focus on other things.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. Kind of like the outlet for mm-hmm. all the yeah. shit that was happening to you. And so what kinds of topics are you discussing week to week?
So like the whole form of the podcast is that we start by just talking about like our everyday life and a lot of pop culture. So yeah, basically anything. And then in the end of the show, we bring up one thing that has to do with racism in Sweden at the time. So mm-hmm. it could be like something in politics, something that happened to me or Fanna or a friend of ours, mm-hmm. or like as the weeks went by and the listening started to grow, people started to send in like questions about racism or mm-hmm. stuff that they experienced, mm-hmm. and then we talked and analyzed that.
Okay.
So basically it's like we laugh and we have fun in the radio. So it's not only like talking about racism, but every week it's one thing that we have to break it down,
mm-hmm.
and then we leave it and yeah. then we go.
Set it aside.
Yeah. Off your chest. Yeah. We tried to.
What was the last breakdown that you guys did?
The election. We had a pre-election show. We had election right now yeah. in Sweden this Sunday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was about that.
Yeah.
That wasn't really like a race topic, but we've had like election special for the last four weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So just our talking listeners, about politics.
Yeah, they send in all the questions about the election, like from like how do I vote to information about the different parties and what we think about politics and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But before that, we had like a proper Raseriet episode because we were talking about like the Nazi demonstration.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The Nazi demonstration.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
I'm sorry to...
So yeah, we're Swedish, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the north, people want to defend their country and still have like Nazi beliefs. Not that many, but they actually got the license to demonstrate in the streets, mm-hmm. have a little rally, and a huge, how do you say, motdemonstration?
Like, I don't know.
Like a manifestation against that. Like,
oh, like a counter protest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A counter protest.
That's a great name.
I didn't know that word.
So a big counter demonstration. Mm-hmm.
Counter demonstration
was started, and Ami went, and I didn't go.
Uh-huh.
So we had like a little conversation about going and not going,
mm-hmm.
because I was very scared,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
we've had counter protests before that have been attacked.
Yeah.
So we had like a in-depth discussion about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty crazy because when we hear people talk about Sweden here, it's like Sweden is very progressive and
yes.
it's the most eco-friendly place. And if you want to like live somewhere in Europe, that's where you need to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also that it's like really gender progressive and gender mm-hmm. balanced and gender equal. How accurate is that depiction?
I mean, in one way, that's definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
Sweden does have, since Sweden is kind of it's a rich country and it's a country where it's been peace for 100 years, and it's a lot of very privileged people living in Sweden. So
mm-hmm.
like for gender studies has had years and years in our universities to that type of studies are really, I mean, I studied gender studies. Have you done that too?
Yeah.
I also like studied everyone, gender studies.
You also did that.
You did it like 10 years ago.
In one way, that's true. And that's, you know, that can make me so confused about why some people, not the gender studies thing, the fact that Sweden is a very peaceful and rich, you know, country.
Mm-hmm.
And that can make you kind of like confused. Like, why are some people like in a growing large group so acting like it's a war going on,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's, but if you look throughout the all over Europe basically, and also like here in your country as well, I mean, everything comes and goes in cycles, and
yeah.
right now that cycle is like all the racism is like on an upswing, and it's
yeah.
like, hey, it's a,
yeah.
their time to shine.
Yeah.
So, and that goes for Sweden as well, and it has so much to do with like migration, refugees coming to Sweden,
yes.
and it's so basic and classic. They just want to have like one. The bad guy is the immigrants and the people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, so. It's really like that. The story that's been you've been given is true.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in that reality.
Of course.
With having works that are nice and we are able to talk about
we have free healthcare until like, okay, I don't even know until when. But free dental care, at least until you're 21. Like, we have all these different systems that we all benefit from because it's like social democracy did that to Sweden. But when it comes to being a woman of color or a person of color in Sweden, then your personal experience, of course, is different.
It's not as progressive.
Yeah, no. set that stage for us. Like, what is the racist, sexist, colorist situation like in Sweden and maybe like all of Northern Europe, if you can speak to that?
Okay, so of course, I would say that the biggest difference from here is that we're so few.
But what is the population?
Well, Sweden has like 10 million people.
Okay.
But I mean, people of color.
Yeah.
And we don't have statistics as you have. So because they say the government means that it's racist, or the state, like, it's racist to actually count people and like label people as black or white.
Oh, it's racist to do that?
Yeah. So okay. we don't have proofs, or we don't have the data to support, like, back up our personal experiences.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that is like one of the biggest problems that we have. We cannot really tell how high the percentage is of black people in Sweden having suffered from racism, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, everybody in some kind of way will. But I would say that you have name discrimination, of course. That's proven many times by different studies that if you have a Arabic sounding name or Hispanic sounding name or African sounding name, you will have less chance to get called to a job interview, for example, or less a chance to get that apartment or even going to see the apartment, you know?
Wow.
So, yeah. And then, of course, the microaggressions in the streets and in your school or even maybe in your family.
What are those like?
Well, I mean, Fanna can give you a lot of really good examples of that since she started this whole Instagram account that was based upon like the experience of being a black woman in Sweden. I mean, you have to talk about it yourself, but that whole thing was like when it became so big. That's now we have, like you said, like, okay, we don't really have that data, but we do have, like, for instance, your Instagram account, which is a story of our nation, a very dark story.
Yeah. So tell us about the account. I'm gonna butcher your name again, Svartkvinna.
Oh, that was quite good.
Oh, for once, I gotta get one in there.
Well, it means black woman, right? So I created it in March 2014.
Is it that long time ago?
Yeah, it's crazy. It was before our last election.
Okay.
And we had just had that demonstration that got attacked.
That was another Nazi demonstration and counter protest.
Exactly. And this was in our neighborhoods in south of Stockholm. And people have been like talking about the fact that there's Nazis like working out on the would you say Ypia? How would you say Ypia?
Yeah, the
like the community sports, like sports arena or whatever.
Okay.
Not arena. Field, like soccer field or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, excuse me, like that's where we were like working out as kids. Like that's where we had where our school went when we had that
recess
is this neighborhood classes, a black neighborhood or just
no, it's okay. It's like a working class.
Gotcha.
It's a suburb, but yeah.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. And I was like, wow, Swedish media and the big outlets are having a whole different discussion about the fact that we have Nazis like doing this. And we
exercising.
Like, do you understand? Like, so crazy.
What signified that they were Nazis? Like, were they had the swastikas on deck? Like,
no, they have another symbol, but it's also like Viking symbol. And they have a party and a program and everything where they have
like a very political party.
Yeah, it's a political party.
Did they run? Are they running in this election?
Yeah,
they did, but they didn't get anything.
But they're actually, they call themselves Nazis, so they're actual Nazis. They don't believe in the Holocaust, and they
not to delve too much into the oppressor, but why are they mad?
Yeah.
We don't really know.
We don't know.
Because we're there, because I guess.
Yeah.
They're plain racist. Yeah. Cut and dry.
No, but what happened was that this was going on. Some people were attacked. A Nigerian man who was a tourist was attacked, like, and got into a coma. He survived, but he got into a coma. Another guy, he's of Kurdish descent, was walking in a feminist parade, whatever, for International Women's Day. And he was also stabbed and was also put into a coma, but survived as well. And all of this was going on. And in media, you would be like, no, racism is not even a big of a problem in Sweden. Or like, is there even racism in Sweden?
Because of that picture about Sweden being like, so progressive.
So it's just like, you know what, just being who I am, having my family looking like it does and my friends, I know that the stories told about Sweden is not really how it is. So I decided to write down all the stories that we constantly spoke about because they always kept on happening to us. And the things that have happened to me in the past and my friends in the past, and
so many stories.
And I just decided to put them up there, and the account got 10,000 followers in one day.
Oh my God.
And it was like,
people craved
it. Can you imagine? Yeah. Like, I was at the time, I was in India with my ex. At the time, ex, but with his mom and grandma. I don't even know why I went on that trip. And I was like on the beach. And so obviously, I didn't really have Wi-Fi. But, and then I got Wi-Fi like for 1 minute.
Yeah, I planned it with you before I left, before you left. Remember? We planned it before
Yeah, sure. And then I was like, oh, the account is up. That's nice. And then no internet. And then after like a couple of hours, I had the internet came back and I was like, whoa.
There's phone exposed.
Maybe like 5,000 followers. And then internet again. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
10,000 followers in a day. That was so crazy.
It was crazy, but it was so interesting.
And also, sorry.
No, sure.
Interrupting you all the time.
No problem.
Imagine also, because Sweden is quite a small country, so because it's in Swedish, so it's not like it's international. It's like 10,000 Swedish people following in one day.
Exactly. And what was interesting, well, of course, I got like super stressed because I was like, okay, am I being able to prove the point that I want to make? Like, how will stuff keep on happening to me so I'll have more material? Like, I was you know, I started thinking like in a, like very weird ways. But then people start to send in their stories, and I was like, well, we won't run out of material. That's not
until
the
racism is solved. And exactly. Like, well, I'm okay with closing down the account.
And at the time, Fana was actually anonymous. She was anonymous out of reasons.
For like 2 weeks.
So, and at that time was when I was working in the radio. But, and everyone was talking about this account and like, but who is the person behind the account? And this is so big. Yeah. And it was like, okay, it's going to have to be like a black woman, of course. And like sort of an actress. And people in my work was like, is it you? Is it you? And I'm like, keeping a bit. I was like, no, or is it? And then I was like, okay, you know what? On Saturday, I have a guest and it's Svartkvinna. And they were like, what? And then they even said, is she going to interview herself? And I was like, what? And then I interviewed Fana. So everyone who knew us, they, you know, they could hear our voices. So we were talking, but it was so much fun to do this. Like,
How
did you think starting the account? I knew every answer, but you know. So and then she, and then she told everyone it was her.
What was interesting that people was that other black women in Sweden started tagging each other under all the different stories. Like, is this your story? Like, you would have like five people tagging each other saying, is this your story? This happened to you last week. No, this is not my story. Yeah. This happened 3 years ago or something like that. And then you have white people like, oh my God, is this really how it is?
Oh my God,
like,
I'm crying
emojis. Like,
so much crying.
Devastating, blah, blah. And women like us would be like, yeah, this was yesterday. So it was so interesting to see how different people know, like, how different, how would you say?
The different
the perception of racism, really. So we proved a point there.
That's good. Yeah. Has that activated white people to do anything? Or is it kind of just more of a safe space for?
I wouldn't say maybe do anything, but what I've been trying to do, I don't know.
Nah.
But you know what my hopes are? That they recognize these situations and speak up. Because something that was very like, kept on coming in is that when people say this to us, maybe in the subway or on the bus or whatever, there's so many people around us, but nobody says anything. And for you to be that victim and also speak up for yourself is also very hard. And then you start thinking that everybody agrees and that you're the only one and blah, 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 you know, especially if you live in the, on the countryside or in a small city.
Where you're the only black person in the whole city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that
happens.
That happens.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
sure.
It's horrifying.
Imagine.
I can't even do it at work.
Exactly. In the small office, I'm like, I'm the only woman of color.
I'm about to break down.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, like, do you have that experience of being in your working places?
Oh, yeah. Okay. In work, yeah. Yes. For sure. Mm. At school, yeah.
Mm. Oh, well, not the
it depends
only,
on what school
but,
you go to. I mean, in classes, yeah.
Yeah, which not is the hard, only, but the one of very few. Like, it would be at most four black women.
The only one. In school?
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, it's terrible.
But
it's terrible when you're trying
school?
To... I went to school here, but I was a scholarship student, so I went to, like, a public school in Manhattan, and that was a very diverse school, but within the scholarship school... It was like four black people in the entire school.
Oh.
And like in higher education, when you're trying to learn about black issues, and the professor is like not great, but also you don't quite know what you're talking about because you're learning and you don't have to advocate for yourself. That is crazy.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No,
so I can't even imagine being the only person in it.
Whole city.
No.
I'd have to move.
I can't either because I haven't had that experience because we're from Stockholm.
Which is
But people have wrote me and written us.
And also to a lot of people writing to the podcast now because we changed the form a bit because after like one full year of having that rage, we were like, okay, we're finished. We have to be zen now. We have to be
Yeah, because
chill,
it was so
whatever.
Much, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then we started just taking this one question every week from the listeners. And then we got a lot of questions like, where I live, I'm the only black person in my city. So, and also like in the that person's family, like the only, and we have a friend, she's from the north of Sweden.
Yeah.
And she's the only black person in her family.
Like she was adopted?
No, her father is not in the picture,
gotcha.
And the other siblings got a white father. So it's like
so
only
she's
her,
the only black
person in her family, in her whole village. She lives in a village.
Yeah,
she lived. Of course, she moved.
Yeah, you have to at that point.
But then, yeah. So yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Imagine like looking at yourself. Like that. I mean, how that formed her.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Yeah,
and it's also very sad.
Yeah,
all of these people got their stories. Are
it's so good that the Instagram account made like a safe haven for these people though to like connect with other people.
Yeah.
Have you ever done in-person events or anything like that, like meetups
with the account or with the podcast?
Either.
With the podcast, a lot. We've had many live shows and some dinners.
That's
and
good.
What more? Like parties.
Yeah.
It's so much fun.
What's the response like?
It's great.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't know, like...
I just feel like it sounds lit.
Yeah,
it's... Booking this flight to Sweden.
You're so very
Could
welcome.
Could you please come?
No, I will.
You have to see this for yourself.
I do.
Let's go to the north. Be the only ones.
Yeah, seriously.
No.
Let's go.
Is it super cold?
Yeah.
In the
Not
winter
all
time,
the time,
yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys like the cold? It's a very off-topic question.
You know what?
There's a stereotype that black people don't like the cold, so I'm just exploring that right now.
Yeah. Okay,
so I hate the cold.
I thought I hated the cold. I thought I hated it with my whole soul and my whole life. But then I realized the thing with Sweden is that it's so far up north that during wintertime, it's very dark.
Uh-huh.
You know, the sun comes out for a few hours, then it leaves again. And you're like, okay, what the fuck? It's cold and dark.
Yeah.
So when I came here like 2 years, no, a year and a half ago, staying here for 3 months, and it was super cold here as well. And I realized the cold is not my problem. It's the lack of light that makes me depressed in Sweden.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with cold. I really thought I hated it.
Yeah. But I don't know if you
but
understand
I don't love
like,
it.
How
like,
dark it is. Because it's like 1 year, I think it was 2015 or something. We had actually like 4 hours of sun throughout the whole November. No, not whole year. But the whole November. Of all of November.
A whole month and just 4 hours?
Yeah,
it was like so it was a record.
Start to cry when the sun sets.
No, literally,
thing.
I actually have seasonal affective disorder, so I would probably do bad things to myself. Yeah.
I would not thrive in that situation.
I
didn't know that was something that you could have. I probably have that too.
Yeah,
but no, but you know what? I know what Fana's real problem is, and I told you this. Your problem is not the cold. Your problem is that you never get a jacket because you always want to have. You always want to have a really
Fana
small.
Fana is on the post. Don't get cold.
Yes.
What? What did you say?
Hoes don't get cold. That's what you think. But you do.
Yeah, that's my new tagline.
My jacket is like, but she has a super short jacket. Like, when you know when it gets like a little open here, that's her. And that's why she can't.
Yeah, I should be in Miami.
Yeah, you should be in Miami.
You should. You look very Miami right now.
Oh,
yeah. Actually, so do you.
Yes.
We're leaving for Miami tomorrow.
You're ready? Yeah.
Oh. I don't think so. I don't think we're ready. But yeah, would you like to go to Sweden?
Yes.
I would love.
Yes. But only for you guys. Oh, wow. Sorry to interrupt the conversation again, guys. I'm getting another call. This is embarrassing. Yo.
Hello, Sam.
Hi.
We're going to get back to Fauna and Ami, but I have some good news for you.
You found someone to love me?
No, that'll never happen. But you know how I'm always talking about the stock market and how we ought to get into investing?
Yeah, but that shit can be intimidating, to be honest. Like, do I need a broker? And if I do, how the fuck am I going to pay him? I just don't get it.
Well, good thing there's Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for the stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Not to mention, it's simple and intuitive. Clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. So with Robinhood, there's no cost, no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits.
Nice.
Plus, you get to learn by doing. So with Robinhood, you can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds. There's also a custom notifications for price movements, so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving Inner Hoe Uprising listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build the portfolio. Sign up at inner.robinhood.com. That's inner.robinhood.com.
Nice. We're about to get into the stock market.
Hey. Back to this wonderful conversation with these beautiful women. Sorry for interrupting.
Thanks.
And the question I had, because you said we're growing up north, and in America, when you go to very predominantly white spaces, it can get very dangerous.
Yeah.
So what is that like? If we walked in, you know, into this town or this village, you know, do we have to leave at a certain time? Does it get dangerous?
No, I wouldn't say like that. It's not like your southern states.
Okay. Or our northern states.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There are parts of New York where the KKK runs rampant.
Oh, then I didn't know that. That's crazy. Yes. How far away is that?
About 6 hours.
Yeah, a couple of hours.
So it's safe for you to know.
I mean,
it's far.
Staten Island, Howard Beach, you might have to leave.
Yeah,
a couple of hours before.
So it depends on what direction you're going in.
I wouldn't say so, because I traveled this year for work. I traveled around all of Sweden because of the election. I was doing like a show for where I work, where I was talking to different people that was supposed to go and vote for the first time. Mm-hmm. Like what questions are big for them and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I got to travel to like the very north of Sweden. And, you know, so I wouldn't say that it's dangerous. No, but I mean, definitely, again, like being the only black person living there would 100% give you a lot of experience of racism. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it doesn't have to be like that up front.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think so. I didn't feel unsafe, but you do. I mean, you feel weird. Of course, you're going to feel weird.
Feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. But it's no.
But of course, if you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, something can happen to you.
Yeah, but that can happen
like
that.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's not like, but I wouldn't go to Klippan though, would you?
No, exactly. Like,
we're not going to Klippan.
Klippan.
No, we're not going.
No.
There's a few places where you know that we shouldn't go, but I don't think anything would happen if you'd go. But it's just that they have bad reputation, you know? You can see the election and stuff like that.
Okay, I have a question about you guys' professional life. So it seems like you talk shit on the podcast about like white people and talk. There might be some ho shit going on in the podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe sort of, kind of ho shit.
Specify ho shit. Yeah.
All right, you know what I'm talking about. Does that, as media personalities, does that ever conflict? Are there people who are like, yo, did you hear what they said last week on the podcast? Like, why is she on TV?
So you know what? The benefits of being like the few black people in Sweden in this industry is that like we are the token people, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you are.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
it's not good, but that's the truth.
That's the truth. So I have the experience of, like, I feel that some of our colleagues or producers or, you know, listens to the show and can be like, oh, okay, cool. And to me, it's good, because to me, it's more like they understand things that I wouldn't maybe say to their face.
Yeah.
But they've heard our discussions and they've read my book.
Yeah.
And I know that this shit that we talk about won't happen to me at my workplace. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if it does, they know that I'll react, and they know everything behind it.
Yeah.
So to me, that's great, actually.
Mm-hmm. But I mean... I have had problems with the podcast conflicting with other work. Mm-hmm, like when I was going to start working again at the radio. That was last year, wasn't it? Last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to start working again at the radio. And then suddenly it was like, well, it's a whole question of what type of questions are controversial to who. I mean, to us, to speak about racism and feminism and stuff like that, that's just that's our everyday life. That's just stuff that we're going through.
Yeah.
But having like a very big party in Swedish politics that are racist, and then it's like, okay, this is very anti this. We have to keep a balance. You have to be. Like,
they don't use the word racist. They use the word, how do you say? Xenophobia. Xenophobic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So basically, like, being too political.
Yeah.
For us, this is just talking about everyday life in Sweden from our perspective.
Yeah.
But for someone else, it's being too political, too radical, basically. Mm-hmm. And then I actually lost that job.
Wow.
Yeah, because
being too radical.
Your life, yeah. your life and your perspective.
How
is
are we
going
to get more progressive?
And that's exactly what she said. You have to tell them what you did with the meeting.
My meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, wow, because this is like, how should I say it? Yeah, well, basically, I was like, okay, this is not like, I'm not the only person that experienced this. I know so many people being like the one and only people of color in their workplace, in different places working in Swedish media. Mm-hmm. And these type of things happens to them. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Because it has to go, it's the experience of being like the angry black woman.
Yeah.
And then suddenly when someone's getting the job or getting promoted, it's not going to be you, because you're always the problem.
Yeah.
Even if you just feel like you're just talking about stuff that's, you know, that's real. So
yeah.
So when they said this to me, it's like, yeah, this boss thinks maybe you're a little bit too political to do this. Didn't have anything to do with the job that I was going to do. Mm. It was just her personal feeling. No, I just raged at the meeting the day after. But I also did it in a good way, because I was like, I went home. I just like, I combed out my hair so I had my afro. Cause, you know, sometimes you need to go rebel.
You gotta
get
go full black.
Yeah, exactly. And I did, like, with my outfit as well. I had like my fake Black Panther outfit. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, I didn't kid. Yeah, and I brought in like another woman of color, but I think she's Kurdish.
Okay.
She was just gonna be there just to listen. Mm-hmm. And that's that. I was like, we have to talk about what really happened here. Like, are you, if for the future, whatever, I don't have to work here, but if you want to be able to have people of color working here, you're going to have to understand that there's some types of questions that are, if this is our everyday life, I'm just being reactive, this happens to me and I react to it, and if you're gonna have any type of anti-racist agenda here, which everyone says they have, you have to find new ways of working with people of color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we had this meeting, the other girl, she was just sitting there, she also looked like a boss. She was just sitting quiet and she took notes. I don't even know what she wrote down. Yes. I never saw her notes, but she was just writing. And then we had this, and I was just like, blah, blah, blah. And then I left, and then I, but you know, yeah, I mean, I got fired, so he wasn't like,
way to drop the mic though.
Yeah,
I did,
did it.
Yeah.
Did
for myself.
Yeah,
but yeah, so the pod, yeah, in one way, of course, it will be easier to not have the podcast, I think, and just be the perfect token, but no.
Yeah, I mean, that's not easy for like your actual mental health.
No, exactly.
Tell us a little bit more about how the Instagram went to become a book.
Okay, so I got a lot of emails from teachers saying like, can we use your Instagram account in our lessons, in our classes? And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I was like, why I should do a book, because the biggest argument that you hear most often is that, yeah, we would love to teach this, but you know, but there's no books, you know? So I was like, let's do a book.
Yeah.
So I contacted, publishing, house, and I researched the only person in that publishing house that was a woman of color.
That's what you gotta do.
A queer person as well.
Yeah.
Who had already, worked with these issues, but connected to the Roma people. I told her, I was like, okay, can we do this to a book? Mm-hmm. And I tried to like promote the fact that it was like 30,000 followers and blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
How do you say, possible customers, you know?
Yeah.
And she's just like, yeah, that sounds great. But what's Instagram? Like, how does it work? I was like, no.
What is Instagram?
So I had to like break it down so much. But she was amazing, and we did the work together and published the book. And then after that, I went on basically a book tour, yes. through the whole country. Wow. And I went to those places where there was maybe two black women, and maybe like 40 white women coming in to listen to this.
No men.
Sometimes, but not too many.
Mostly women.
Mostly women, and mostly like older feminist women, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do have some questions about like the feminist movement in Sweden, because it's like super prominent, right? Like there's an international feminist party or something like that, or feminist initiative or something.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So here we have like these different subsets of feminism where it's like white feminists don't ever help anybody out. Is it like that? Do they even help themselves?
Oh my God.
Drag them.
But no,
drag them.
Can I ask you, like, in what way do you think that they're not even helping themselves?
I don't think they look at the issues that they look at through a lens that addresses all people. So like when we talk about the movement for reproductive rights or whatever, it's not like, oh, well, you know, women of color don't have access to this at all. It's like, well, my pussy is my pussy. It's very, it's
pussy
also very,
hats.
Yeah, it's very like, what's the word I'm looking for? Superficial.
Yes.
And not really going deep into how these issues affect everybody else. It's like, I get paid 77 cents on the dollar. I want to bring myself up to a dollar, but I don't care about the fact that like Latinx women are getting paid 50 cents on the dollar.
But also
oh, go ahead, drag them.
What I meant by they don't even help themselves, because you can also be white and have another marginalized or a marginalized identity, and they won't care about you. So if you're white and disabled, fuck you.
Yeah,
you
know. Or if you're white and trans, we have TERF feminists who don't
white and queer
that,
that's so true.
But yeah, so how is it in Sweden? What is the feminist?
No, but it's very much the same situation. Lately it's become the woke trend. I mean, so that's why it's like, and that's actually been like the last rages in the podcast, because I've been raging on our Instagram and in the podcast at our own listeners, because we have so many white girls listening to us. And we're like, you know, I started to feel like, we're a thing. We're really, because like they buy our merch. They say to people that they listen to the pod, they come to the live shows, but they only have white friends. And I'm like, why do you only have white friends? Seriously. Look at yourselves. Like, don't just listen to the podcast, because it's become a thing.
Yeah.
It's popular to listen to our podcast, which obviously it's a good thing. But we were like, you can just listen to us and then don't process the idea. And again, do something.
Yeah.
Like, do not just follow this account and cry and then tell someone that you follow it. And then that's
enough.
Something on your resume.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like it become a trend to understand that you need to be more
intersectional in your feminism.
Yes. But is it like, are people taking real actions? Not really.
No,
people could do so
people
much
try.
More and they don't.
Some people try,
but we still talk so much about white feminism.
They still fail, you know.
Yeah.
So the feminist initiative, that's like an actual political party, which is so crazy to me because we don't have anything like that here. But what are they running on platforms that are inclusive of all women, or is it just like white feminism?
No, I mean, yes. I think they do a really good job.
They really do. Their second name, well, the two first names that they actually having on mandates in Stockholm are women of color.
Yes,
that's good.
So and they had a black woman as well, Victoria Cabeza, as a spokesperson for the party. Mm-hmm. But then you also have the fact that she was subject to a lot of racism, not only because she was that party's leader, but also because, of course, she's a black woman in Sweden.
A dark skin black woman.
And then she became like a super clear target.
It was hard.
And it became too much for her to do that political work. Mm. So I'm not sure. Maybe it's because it's still a small party and it's growing, but it couldn't really take care of her in that way, you know? So I don't know the backstory, and I don't know that, but it's a failing. Like if it becomes too much for the dark skinned black woman that's leading the party for her to actually do it, then it might be a problem, you know. But
they're very big on talking about, like, they don't talk about only feminism. They're really always talking about anti-racist feminism. So I think they're doing a really good job.
Yes,
yeah, they do.
But they've been criticized a lot as well.
Yeah,
from people in marginalized areas.
Yeah, they've been criticized a lot
for white feminists.
Yeah.
But I'm not really sure. If you look at their actual politics, I think it's very inclusive.
That's good. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that that even exists.
Do you think that could ever occur here? If you guys started
the whole party. I run a nobody's political party. I am tired.
Okay. How do you, like, how in this country to, like, keep up with the to have energy to talk about politics here?
We have an election today, and I feel a particular way about a specific candidate, and we were in the group chat, and I was like, okay, like, vote today. And Akua was like, I'm fine with either candidate. And I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? One of these people is very bad. So Akua has checked out entirely.
Yes, I have.
Sometimes that's self-care.
Why? What happens?
Since, self-care, yeah. Our presidential election, which was last year, politics is not something that I follow anymore. I can't. I do a lot of emotional labor as my day-to-day job that most days I leave drained. And the political landscape in this country puts me at a 10. Like, it just drives me up the wall to hear about things. So I've shut off all. If it's not a major, major news story, I won't hear it, and I just can't.
So what did you actually do? Did you, like, erase all the apps? You don't read news.
Yeah, so the news app on my phone is gone. I don't follow any news pages. So all of that, I used to follow them on Facebook.
Sure.
No longer a thing. Again, if it doesn't pop up, if it's something Samantha doesn't send me or is not trending on Facebook or Twitter, I will not know that it happened.
And how has that changed your life to take all that away?
It's lowered my anxiety a bit. It's not completely gone, because I know this country is shit. So I know that bad things are happening. I know, you know, unfavorable things are happening. But I'm just not, and it's not the stance that I want, but it is self-care in the most major way, because I can't. I just can't.
And also, no, but I mean, that's like a way of förlänga. Okay, so I mean, to be able to do what you do for a longer time, to prolong yourself or your activism, because it's like we got to take breaks. Many activists that we know that just, you know, they just break down, basically.
Yeah, I did a whole show about it.
Yeah. And it's like, when I was pregnant that year, I did the exact same thing, because I was like, I can't. I'm already crazy in my head right now. So I can't. And that was so beautiful. I was like, okay, I can hear my own thoughts. And I remember who I am without being like in relation to, like, without having to adjust myself to this question or think something about this or helping
having
a friend,
to react,
you know, all the time. It's like you almost forget, like, I am a person apart from all of this.
Who already has, like, issues. Humans have issues.
Emotional regulation.
Yeah. Jesus, 3 calls in a day? I swear to you guys, my phone is normally so dry, I don't know what the fuck is going on. Hello.
Hey, it's your big boy, Rob, my nigga.
Oh, shit. Why are you calling us in the middle of this episode?
I'm interrupting this great conversation with Fawn and Ami, like how my Pete interrupts my life when I have a UTI.
Oh, true, true.
Do y'all get a lot of UTIs? Because it turns out you're not alone. UTIs are the second most common infection in the U.S., and half of all women get UTIs.
And people with vaginas, right?
Of course, because I'm a person with a vagina. Like, who am I kidding?
Yes.
And 1 in 5 people with vaginas struggle with recurring UTIs. So if you're like me and get UTIs where you want to die when you pee, you're like, wow, do I even want to have sex right now? Because I might get a UTI. And you know that cranberry juice don't really help because cranberry juice don't even got cranberries in that shit. And taking all them antibiotics, it just gives you more infections. You're in luck. So what should you do? Use Eucora, the natural effective way to prevent UTIs. Eucora was developed using the best research available in collaboration with a team of physicians. Eucora's unique formula targets bacteria and enables you to safely flush bacteria out of your urinary tract, stopping UTIs before they even start. Just mix it with water and drink it after intimacy or exercise or whenever you think you might be at risk of a UTI. And if you don't know what causes your UTIs, Eucora has you covered on a day-to-day basis. It's natural and it tastes like pink lemonade. Try Eucora and break free from the endless cycle of UTIs and all of those antibiotics. So to get Eucora and to say goodbye to UTIs, right now they're offering 30% off when you text RISE to 484848. But hurry, it's limited. It's super limited. So text RISE to 484848 to get 30% off your order of Eucora. That is RISE to 484848. Get your UTI going, money good.
Get your UTI gone. Special word from overseas by my nigga Rob. Y'all are not here for no reason in New York City. You didn't just fly out.
There's a very
right. We wish, but there's a very specific and important reason why you're here. So let us know what brings you to New York in the first place.
The best reason ever.
Well, yeah.
Really.
Well, we're doing a mini documentary series about hip hop feminism and strip culture in America.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, on the East Coast.
Okay. And it'll be called Fanny and Anna Strip Trip.
Fanny and Anna.
Fanny and Anna.
I'm sorry, Amy. I'm so sorry. I totally fucked that up. It's Fauna and Ami Strip Trip.
Yes. Yes.
That is the name.
Please.
No, don't worry about it. So we actually saw Giselle Marie's New York City stripper strike a few months back.
Yeah.
We're like, wow, this is so interesting. Mm-hmm. And we're like, maybe we can do something on this.
Yeah.
And we pitched it and now we're here. Like, so we're going to New York. We're here now. And then we're going to Miami tomorrow and then to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We go to the strip clubs and we discuss with each other how it feels, and we interview some women in there.
Yeah.
The thing is, as we were talking about white feminism, we feel like a lot of people are left out in their discussions.
Yeah.
And we just feel like these women that maybe needs support from other women, from sisterhood, from feminism, and basically from all of society, but definitely from feminism, maybe don't always get that support and also get judged from everyone, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were like, I wonder how they see stuff. I mean, questions that we ask ourselves in the podcast or ask ourselves in like our everyday life, like questions about the body image or
the male gaze
to men or whatever.
Yeah.
Like these girls that we meet, they work in, it's such an extreme little form of the whole patriarchy, I feel, in one way.
Yeah, it's like that's all kind idea. Of crashing down on them.
Exactly.
They need support in different ways, but people aren't giving it.
But also, we don't really know, because I have never talked before to a girl that dances. Mm-hmm. So we needed to hear their story told by them. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. And so, it's so interesting.
Yay! Y'all have hit up some strip clubs already here in our lovely city.
Yeah.
How has that been?
Well, mixed. Very mixed. Yeah. Our first night, we went to Club V in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And then we went to Sapphire in Midtown, somewhere there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then we went to Angels in Queens.
Mm-hmm. Queens.
Are you from Queens?
They're born and raised.
Yeah. Oh, cool. No, and it was three totally different experiences. Mm-hmm. and very interesting. Very interesting. I've never like experienced anything like that before.
No, it's interesting.
Stripper culture in Sweden doesn't really exist. Here it's so tied to pop culture.
Yes.
And like we and listen hip-hop. To the music. Yeah. We do all of that. Like and been listening to it forever and watching the music videos and everything like that. But then we're also feminist and we're Swedish where we don't have that kind of culture, and so it clashes. So it can be in there, and for one moment you feel like, oh my god, this is so cool, it's so much fun, and look how she dances, and then the next second you're like, oh my gosh, she's actually dancing with him, she needs to dance with this guy to earn her money, like, and it becomes so double. It's a clash.
Do you guys go to strip clubs?
I don't go to many strip clubs.
Yeah, I've been to one or two, maybe.
Yeah, I just don't have the bands, you know. Like, I don't have money to throw.
If we must pay these women for their work.
Sure,
exactly. And we are women that are not paid for hours.
I pass along?
What can I give you when
I can't
I
give love and support? Right,
merch. Like, she can't pay her bills with my merch.
No, that's true.
She can't.
So. Like, what the fuck am I gonna do with this?
But seriously, that's very interesting because that's these. Two nights that we've been out, I mean, that's really been mixed emotions, because we definitely, like you say, these girls are only there to make the money, of course we're gonna have to give them the money. This is their work, we don't want to judge, but at the same time I do feel weird putting dollars into a girl's panties, you know. And then I'm like, I have to think, why am I feeling, what's happening, what am I thinking right now?
The
clash is somewhere in between, like them selling this illusion of everything being fun and sexy, and the illusion of like that maybe giving the men the idea of them being able to be with this girl and that she's having fun or whatever. And you get swept into that. Like you said, you have fun. And then, but at the same time, it's like, okay, but this is so like, it really shows the power structure in the most obvious way.
Yeah.
One person obviously has the money to be able to buy this from the other person. Yeah, you know, it's so many thoughts.
Yeah.
And being the one that's with the dollars in my hand, that's going to like, change hands to her and something's going to happen in between.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, it's mixed emotions.
Have you talked to some of the girls about that?
About our feelings?
Yeah.
Not really.
Will you?
I mean, yeah, we should definitely do that. But but up until now, we've only done like one full interview. And we really want to hear like their... But we've been talking to each other on camera about like the feelings about it. But it's like, yeah, you don't really want to... the focus should not be on us and our experience with them, but maybe we should talk to maybe like Giselle.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
It's also about,
I definitely think you should, because you don't know how they feel about it, you know. And also I kind of liken it to like, we all get paid by some sort of person who has more power than us for money. Like, I might not love my job, but I'm sure as hell acting like I do, and I want a paycheck at the end of the day. And I don't want you to feel bad about it, so it's an interesting thought experiment to explore.
That's so true.
And there may be an effect that gender has on that power dynamic for them, so that they also understand that power structure, that this person has the money and that person is usually male, but may feel differently seeing another woman of color than giving them money. And may not feel the same way they would feel as if it was a man giving them the money. Whereas but it's making you uncomfortable, they might be like, yes, this is
finally
exactly. But it could also be double. Like, it could also be like, okay, who's this woman coming in here doing this work, giving me money in this way, feeling maybe better or whatever. Who are you coming here acting this way? Actually, when you can tell that we're sometimes uncomfortable. So I really feel that I don't want to have like an energy that is like judgy. You know, because I don't judge them. I really don't. I'm very interested in hearing their story and understanding the situation and the culture. But I can't control my face expression. Like, I can't.
Can any black women control
their face? Yeah, I don't think that's in our genetic code.
I don't think so.
But yeah, this would actually be really interesting to explore to see how the women themselves feel about it.
Definitely. Yeah. We need to bring
that.
Because
we might be overanalyzing it.
And, yeah, well,
we
exactly.
She's like, go on, girl, give me my money. Like,
yeah, the fuck? Everything is for you.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and they're like, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
Definitely. We're so into our own feelings, like, who am I in all
but
of
the
this?
Patriarchy.
Yeah. I see dollar signs.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we'll see. But it's gonna be a really interesting project.
But what else do you think that we like when you think about the project? Like, do you have some like a question that you think we should ask? Except for this. It was really good. We're gonna keep that.
So definitely, but, like, and I think off mic we talked about this, but definitely New York City stripper strike and the bartender versus stripper thing that's going on right now. Because when we talked about this on our show, I was like, I want to do a documentary on this.
Yes.
Oh, so I'm actually a bit envious of you.
Oh, but you took a gun for her because she wanted it.
Yeah.
So definitely that. And then I know recently Giselle and she's friends with one of the people who started the New York City stripper strike movement, and that person actually passed away recently.
Yeah, Vanity.
Yeah, I think she had like struggled with mental illness, and that was kind of like offset by whatever is going on in whatever was going on in her life as a person who dances.
Yeah, Giselle has been writing about that on her social media.
Yeah, she's been talking about it a lot.
Yes.
So just how do you self-care as a girl who's dancing, you know?
Yeah, self-care. Definitely.
And then also queer girls. And then gender queer girls, right? Mm-hmm. Like trans strippers. Mm. I don't hear too much about them.
Mm-hmm. I know they exist.
I know for a fact they exist, yeah. So. And also big girls who strip.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting with the whole
body image.
Yes.
Body image and
skinny
and the
girls
colorism.
Who strip too.
Mm-hmm.
Now
that
everyone has like plastic surgery.
Mm.
That's also another thing to explore.
Yeah,
there's so much in this.
So much.
Yeah. You really have like feminism and patriarchy in one bar.
Yeah. Wow,
you can
that's exactly what it is.
Everything in different ways. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But self-care is really good.
Very good.
How do you get through it?
I can't wait to watch this. First of all, can I? And where can we watch it? Where and when?
It will launch in December.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On SVT Play. SVT Play.
That's the Swedish National Television.
We're going to do our best to make sure it's possible to stream it from here.
Yay. If not, we're going to Sweden anyway, so we'll catch the rerun.
I'll be there in December.
You can download some toolbar or whatever, you know.
I'm going to send it to you. But yeah, come to Sweden.
Is there going to be an issue with, because you know it is a strip club and people have their full asses out, sometimes their full bodies out. Mm. It's on national TV, is that?
No, that's not a problem.
No.
Swedish national television
is not like
really,
American.
Really?
You can be nude on national television?
Yeah. Wow.
But actually, I think Luva, our editor, said that I might be the one having to blur out the assholes. Because he saw like a clip where they're like
the
in Miami
nuts.
And they're like, they go butt naked. I don't know, ass naked. And I was like, that would be my job. We're like, okay, Luva, go
But
ahead.
I was actually thinking about this because there was another Swedish show about culture in Sweden that's been like on for 100 years and it's a really like... Co-abra, like our producer worked with it, and they did an episode about like a Danish artist who does like she takes the inner selfie.
Mm-hmm.
She takes a selfie of her cervix, basically. So she,
she's
like,
I
love her. I love her, but she's kind of a typical like the white feminist type of art. She does she shows her whole vagina on her Instagram. She gets blocked all the time. She does stuff with her period. You know what I'm talking
period
about.
Period art,
period art.
Yeah.
But she took like the inner selfie when she was on her period, of course, and we could see everything. And I was like, this is interesting. And I've been thinking about it for our show because it's again like with the bodies
when it's showing, clinical,
but when it's clinical, when it's a white body, if it's she's not skinny, but it's like the like a skinny body, it could be like, well, this is art. But then it's like the black body and the body of
it's
the girls that we saw,
already.
Like the thick bodies. Are we going to be able to show it in the same way? People are going to think it's so much more vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's like the white artist Danish girl that takes the inner selfie, you know, then it's okay.
It's
so she did that, so we can do whatever we want.
Yeah. Are you going to show your asshole?
I will. What?
No. Okay.
Are you gonna show your asshole?
No, I'm not gonna do it.
Why would I?
No, because you said if she can take the selfie, then not you can me. Do it. That's what you said.
You understood that I meant show any picture.
I mean, it was a joke.
That is funny. So if you're in Sweden, you can watch it on STV.
Yeah. SVT.
SVT.
I'm
so uncultured. I was right.
Yes.
See, you should have been doing this the whole time. You really let me down this whole episode. No, I'm just kidding. And it might be available for streaming at some point online. That's dope.
Stream it on our website. We have
I would love to do that.
Out.
We should do a live
a reaction show.
Of it here.
Please bring this out.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for coming. Let everyone know where they can listen to your podcast if they speak Swedish, right? And then where they can find you on the web and where they can find the book and the Instagram. Mm-hmm.
So the book is also still in Swedish. I've been trying to translate it forever, but they don't understand that we're connected worldwide.
Yes.
If you want to follow our Instagram page, it's raserietpodden. Mm-hmm. Well, which, I don't know. You have to write it somewhere.
So I will put it in the description of this episode.
My name is Fanna Ndao Norby, which is also like hard for...
It will also be in the description.
But it's F-A-N-N-A and it will probably pop up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
My Instagram is Ami the Kid. Mm-hmm. And then her account is Svart Kvinna. And that's the name of the book as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everything will come up on there. Fanna and Ami strip trip. We need to do the hashtag. Maybe then they can find everything.
Yes.
We could do that.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting us come to your show. Yes. We love that. It's so nice to sit here with you.
I've listened so much to your show. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right, that's it for another episode of the Inner Hall Uprising podcast. Thank you so much to Fanna and Ami for that incredible interview. Thank you all for listening once again. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so by going to Inner Hall Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook, Inner Hall Uprising without the G on Twitter. And you can go to Slam Rid to follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Please, please, please don't forget to RSVP to Ho Halloween. Buy your tickets to Miss Vixen First Fridays. Check out our incredible sponsors. And that is all. Bye.